and we're about 12 lines in the bottom. That may be, but I can't guarantee. But you probably missed Thursday. Wednesday.
Wednesday,
right. Wednesday was the last day we learned, so you missed it.
Oh, that's true.
So we're up to Tezbov Amrav. It's about 12 lines in the bottom.
Before
The Begodlon, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines to the bottom. And the two dots. Begodlon, Mashro, Begodlon. When children saw something when they were young, they can testify to us what they saw when they were adults. So says the Gemara, Ein emani ela Begodlon, Mashro, Begodlon. They only believe when they're adults and say what they saw when they were children. Habakotna lo, does it mean that the children are not believing anything which they say? Then we learned, Tamantanin, and we learned in Bar Basra. I don't believe this is in the Bavli, but it is in the Ushami. Although, actually, I take that back here. It says it's in non Bar Basra, it's in Baba Kama. And here it is. It does say it's in the Bavli. So Talmatina, Namenasi Shokata Lamar Mikan Yotza Nachil. A woman or a child who have the same status in Halacha in terms of their testimony are believed to say that from here went out a swarm of bees. Mahal Chatok Sadeh going into another fellow's field. Vinoitels Nachil, and then the other person. The person who claims the bees came swarmed from his field can go and take his swarm. Va'ua markein. So we see here that even a child in his childhood is believed to say that the swarm of bees came from a certain person's field. So why here do we say that he's not believed until he becomes an adult to recall what occurred? So Rabbi Akron, Chinuch of Rabbi Yochanan said, Lo markin Rabbi Yochanan broka el al nochu shel dvarim she'en gzeil dvar Torah. He only said, made the statement about a swarm of bees where there's no theft on the Doraisa level, because really nobody owns a swarm of bees. Bees are not, unlike horses or cows, you can't own the swarm of bees.
What is the importance?
What's the importance of what?
The swarm of bees.
The swarm of bees. No, the one guy wants to claim that they're his.
Oh, okay.
So he has testimony of children to support him.
Okay.
So he's saying that swarms of bees are not, there's no gezel d'oraisa. I'm not sure if you cultivate, why that's true, even if you cultivate hives. But I guess the point is that the hives you own, but the bees in the hives you don't really own, since they swarm from place to place. Yeah, they're not like doves or pigeons where you domesticate them. So, yeah, but even still, the bees will still fly away. You can't claim that you own specific bees. You don't brand the bees. So, Tanya Rabbi Yeshua said, along these lines, you can only claim that the swarm is yours. But the branch or the hive, lo, Yusuko is literally a branch, but I assume it's the hive as well. In other words, a person can't say, well, the bees picked up the branch or the hive which they were in and carried it into your field. Because that really, hives or branches really are generally much more affiliated with the field in which they find themselves. So in order to testify that the hive or the branch upon which the bees have made their home belongs to, you really need bona fide testimony, not just the testimony of a child or of a woman. But the testimony of the child of the woman suffices for the swarm itself. Okay? Rabbi Zira Baikun Rabbi Mono. Rabbi Zira asked for a mono. Lo mistabro, this does make sense, it should be Elo. Elo Asar. Actually, it's not a question, he's proposing. It doesn't make sense to say this only if it's immediate. Halachas man lo. But not after some time's elapsed. In other words, on this swarm piece, if they say immediately after they saw it swarming over to the other side, oh, we saw the swarm of bees go to the other side, then they have credibility. But if it's after some time, we don't give them that credibility anymore. Armelani responded, Afanos, Sarva claimed. I also the same way. Utsinim, we also learned a Brisa. Bamedbar Morim, when is it true that they have the right to testify, the child or the woman? Shahidu Uchibin said, Ma'amaram says, Kornet should say, Bima'amadon. Ma'amadon means while they were standing there on the spot. But if they went away and came back and then wanted to testify, on the Omer, I say, Bibnei Yiro, Pitui Omru, they were frightened or seduced into saying what they said, and therefore they lose their credibility. So either the child or the woman, when they are children or women, are only believed immediately, but not after some time. It's only because we're afraid that by that time they've been persuaded to perhaps testify that which is not 100% accurate. But in any event, normally, besides the swarm of bees, even though a child has the right to make not true testimony, but a gilui milsa, to recall certain things he saw and establish chazaka thereby, like the Mishnah said, that a cotton is believed when he grows up to say, I remember when I was younger that this kid used to be taken out of school to go to the mikvah, to eat truma, and things like that. So they're allowed to testify that. The testimony only works when they're adults, when they've grown up and they recollect what they saw when they were children. The only thing which works when they're actually children is something like this, which is not even really gezel d'oraisa, the case of the bees, where there's even less of a standard of testimony. So we have actually three standards of testimony. One is full testimony. We need adults testifying what they saw as adults. The other is gilui milsa, to establish patterns or chazakos, where you don't need to have real adults. Well, you need to have real adults testifying, but they can testify about things they saw which took place when they were children. And the lowest standard of testimony is things where the testimony required is not for the d'oraisa issue, but rather for a quasi-drabbanan issue like bees. There, even children, as children, are allowed to testify on the spot what they have seen. Okay? Hachalach Yishish in Isambra. New pair. Pair of Gail and Aris.
Good question.
Yes.
How do we get it
from Kisru? We are talking about testimony at the end of the second pair. Okay? Eil Nar Shishlam Ksav Knas. These are the girls who have a knas, meaning if they're raped or seduced, well, raped, let's talk about rape. Mm-hmm. Raped during the time they're between their 12 and 12 and a half. So there's a fine which is paid 50 silver dollars, which goes to their father, right? Haba Mamzeris, somebody has relations with their, or if there is no father, they goes to, and they're already 12, it goes to themselves. Haba Mamzeris, somebody has relations with, even with a girl if she's a Mamzeres, and the Sina, she one descended from the Gibeonite tribe, only quasi-converted to Judaism. Vakut is one who has relations with a Samaritan woman. Habal Gyor, somebody has relations with a girl who was, who became, converted to Judaism. Ala Shivcha, a woman who was released from slavery. Shvuya, a girl who was staying in the captivity, in which cases Shaniftu, they redeemed, or Shenizgaru, they converted, or Shishtachu, or they were released. When they were younger than three years and one day old, in all these cases, there is a ker knas. Haba, similarly, somebody who haba lachos, somebody has relations with his own sister, lachosaviv, with his aunt, through his father, al achosimo, with his aunt, through his mother, al achosishto, with his wife's sister, al eshes achiv, and with his brother's wife, al eshes achi aviv, and with his uncle's wife, al anida, and a woman who's anida. All these cases, yesh le knas, there's a knas. Avo bishem yikoris, why? Because the Mishnah holds that even though there's kares in all these cases, ain ben mises basin is not subject to the death penalty at the hands of a court. Now, our Mishnah holds, we don't pass them this way. Our Mishnah holds that kimle b'derabim mine, that you only get the more severe punishment, death over money,
is only applies to a case where the potential punishment is execution by the hands of court. We pass in that kimle b'derabamine applies even if the aveiru transgress is one which might potentially generate for you kares, excision at the hands of heaven. But our Mishnah does not hold the way. Our Mishnah says explicitly that it's only mitzvahs based on, we say, kimle b'derabamine, and therefore in all of the cases, we would say he pays, we don't say you give him the misa, and that the death absolves the payment. Okay? Ksivit says, v'lo siel isha, that she should be for him a wife. Now, this is talking about a woman who you raped, and afterwards, she has the right to demand you to marry her. Isha she ru'ilo. So it's got to be, so we darshan that it's got to be a woman who's suitable for him to marry. So ask the Gemara, Mamzeres he ru'ilo. Is Mamzeres suitable for him? He's not allowed to marry Mamzeres. So how come he has to pay a fine if he rapes a Mamzeres? So Shimon Lakish Amar, Kesef Yishko Kimor Absulos. It says money shall be weighed out like the dowry given to virgins. Reba Akan Basulos Harbi. So it says Basulos in plural. So it's telling us there are many Basulos if you have relations with them that you have to pay a fine, and includes even a case of Mamzeres. Rabzir said, Elav Ksi Basulos. And here the Shari Torah sort of takes apart the next word. He says to me, Ilayaksi Basulos Kimohar Yaos. If it would have said Basulos Kimohar, virgins as is their dowry, then you would have been Yaos, you would have been correct. But it doesn't say that. It says, Laysksiv Kan Elov Kimohar Absulos, like the dowry of virgins. So therefore, it doesn't indicate that there's more than one besulos being discussed in this pasuk. Said besulos kimoar, would say many besulos, as is their dowry. However, it says kimoar besulos means the dowry of besulos. That doesn't connote any additional women other than the one we assume the Torah is talking about, a normal Jewish woman. So lo riba nakasub el moar bilvat. And all the pasuk coming tell us is that even pasulos, even women who are pasul, who are not valid marriage prospects, still if you marry them, they get a ksuva. Okay? Which tells you this Gemara is going like the opinion which holds that a ksuva is the raisa. So it says kemora pasulos, it means that women who are pasul get a ksuva, but it doesn't tell us anything about paying for if you have relations with a mamzeres. So it says more vaida amara. So who tells us that? Where do we learn out that if you have relations with the mamzeres that you have to pay the fine of 50 silver dollars? So hadad the tani chizkia. Tell that which chizkia taught us. It says ima ein avia. If her father refuses to have him marry her, ein liel shemi ein avia. I only know that if her father can refuse her marrying this fellow, how we even know that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented this fellow marrying her, i.e. by imposing upon her the prohibition of Mamzerus, how we know that there he also has to pay? Because Talmud Lomar, because the Pasuk says, Mo'ein Yimo'ein Mikol Mokol. It says, Mo'ein Yimo'ein, superfluous word, one of those words is extraneous. So the Talmud teaches us, whether it's the father prevents the marriage or Halacha prevents the marriage, nevertheless, you have to pay the $50 fine to this girl. So we Halacha prevents the marriage in the case of Mamzeres, so we assume Mamzeres gets a fine. So if that's the case, I assume Me'atzov, that's true. Habola Shivcha, if a man has relations with a maidservant, Yela Knas, she should get Knas as well, because the only reason I have to marry her is because Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't permit you to marry a Shivcha. But theoretically, even in that case, we just said that just like a Mamzeris, you pay a Knas. So in this case, you should have to pay a Knas. So says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar, Mahori, Marena, Lola Isha. It's got to be a case where you could give her a Ksuva and marry her. As she yesh lo avaya bo, has to be a case where you can be married to her. Yotza Shivcha Ramis, as opposed to a non-Jewish maidservant, Shein lo avaya, where you can't marry her. Bo. Now, look, with a Mamzeres, you can marry her. It's forbidden to marry her, but if you do marry her, the marriage takes effect. So that's called Yesh Lecha Bo Havaya. You do have a possibility of contracting marriage with her. But by Shivcha, there's absolutely no possibility of contracting marriage. So therefore, Shivcha, while she's still a maidservant, is precluded from getting this fine given to women who are raped.
Why is it that Shivcha doesn't have Havaya? I mean, it's an Isser.
No, they have no marriage. They're worse than Goyim.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Avonim Shvachos have no marriage. Goyim have marriages among themselves. Avonim Shvachos have no marriages. They're Zir Masusim, Zir Muslim. They're considered to be beyond the prior possibility of marriage. So, Heisvun asks Kash like this. Harei Achoso, what about your sister? Ain lo Avaya boy, you can't marry your sister. Vuhu Mishalein Knas, you pay a Knas if you have relations with her. How come? Says one, Shani Yishesh Lo Avaya Tzacher. No, they're different. True, you can't marry her, but somebody can marry her, another guy. So therefore, she's susceptible to Knas. Harei Bito, what about his own daughter, where he pays Knas, even though he can't marry her? Again, Yesh Lo Avaya Tzacher, she can marry somebody else. Veinu Mishalein Knas. So we want to ask a question. Why don't you pay a knas? Oh, I skipped. I misread this. Sorry. Harebita Yishlo Vayitzlacher. It's not a question and answer. It's one long question. Harebita, what about daughter? Yishlo Vayitzlacher. She could marry somebody else. Yet if you ain't no mishan knas. Yet if you have relations with your daughter, you don't pay knas. Why not? So it says Mashani, no, your daughter's different. The reason why I don't pay knas is shu mischai benafsho. It's because you get killed by court. Shu kam mischai benafsho ain't mishalim mamon. Anybody who's killed by the court doesn't pay money. That's principle kimle b'ravine. We give him the more severe punishment. So therefore, that's the reason why your daughter, you're exempt from paying knas. Not because she can't get married; she can marry somebody else. Rather, because you are liable to the death penalty. Nesina, what about a gibbonite? Rabbi Yossi said, "Nesina lochoshlem el mishum pesulim mishpacha." So Rabbi Yossi said, "A nasin is only possible because of a potential problem with his family, which means that he is susceptible to marriage, or she is susceptible to marriage, I should say. It's even though one is forbidden to marry them, that's called a psul mishpacha, right? Like a mamzer, exactly like a mamzer is bad. Because inter, if you're going to say." Mishum Sulabdus, that the reason why Gibbonites are forbidden the congregation is because they're like Avadim, and they have no possibility of proper marriage. So if that's the case, Me'ata Abol Nesina Lo Yeh Lo Knas. So if that's the case, then somebody has relations with a Nesina, with a Gibbonite, trying to pay Knas, because she's like a Shivcha. She's beyond the possibility of marriage. Utinia, yeah, we learned that Mishnah Abol Nesina, somebody has relations with Nesina, Yesh Lo Knas. So therefore, must be that Nesina is like Mamzeris. It's a psul, not of Avdus, but a psul of the Mishpacha. In other words, it's like Mamzeris, not like being an Eved.
Although the punishment is supposed to be their water carriers and...
Right, but they're still Jewish. They're Jewish lowlifes. That's what we say. Says Gemara, Kutis, what about a Samaritan woman? So Armisha says that she gets a fine. Ask the commander of the 20th period, which holds Kuti Yisrael Chol Dover, that a Jew, Kuti, a Samaritan, is like a Jew. But on commander or Kuti Kigoy, but Koine Bill chose a Kuti is like a Goy, Lo Bida. In that case, it's not true that we would say that the Kuti gets a Knas. And this is the Machlokas. These Pahogu, we have Machlokas. Kutik a goy, the version Gamliel. Kornoshin Gamliel is like a goy, and therefore there's no knas involved. I'm sorry, Divi Rebbe, according to Rebbe. Rashin Gamliel, Omer, Shin Gamliel says, Kutik Yisrael Chol Dover. A Kuti is like Yisrael, and therefore they should get knas. Says, Mora, Apilu Teima, Kutik a goy. You know what? Could even to say the Kuti is like a goy. Kuti mishum maim sulim. Why is the kuti possible? Lo mishum goy ve'eved. And it's not because of goyim and avadim. In other words, they got mixed in with goyim, with non-Jews and avadim and slaves. Abal Yisrael goy ve'eved abal Yisrael. Mubas Yisrael v'la mamzer. the goyin and avid have relations with the Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is a mamzer. Well, mamzer is the ish to knas, and the mamzer says a knas, in which case we'd say that also kuti says a knas. Or perhaps not that way, says
the
Yeah, our mission said a kuti. No, we don't pass it away, but the Rabbi Yochanan does. We don't, but Rabbi Yochanan. I think Rabbi Yochanan does. Anyway, it's not a pella that the Stam of the Yerushalmi has that, because there are Amroim, and I think it's Rabbi Yochanan Paskin said, Goyu Evidu Haboa Bas Yisrael Vlad Mamzer. We, of course, do not pass it away. Paskin is totally Jewish, but there was such an opinion. Anyway, Umamzeres Hishkan, so we say Umamzeres does that for us. And next word should be transposed. And we say Kutis loses on both counts. Lene Mishpacha, in terms of a Jew marrying her, we regard them as Goyim Eved Avoah Bas Yisrael, or Goyim or slave associations with a regular Jewish girl. Havla Mamzer, the child's Mamzer, and he can't marry into the Jewish nation. Whereas, Tapat Zayin Mar Aleph, Lene Knas, in terms of a fine, maybe at Avi Leav Yisrael, maybe in that case I make the Kutim like Yisrael. Make them like Yisrael has relations with a non-Jewish woman and a Vlad Goy. And maybe they're considered to be Goyim. Now it's maybe Kutim lose on both counts. One way, losing on both counts would mean that in terms of marrying Jews, they wouldn't be allowed to marry Jews because they're afraid they're Mamzeros, right? Right, being that an Eved or a Goy has a relationship with a Jewish woman makes the kid a mamzer. In terms of Knas, let them not get Knas, because according to Knas, from the perspective of Knas, I look at them as being psul Goyim. And maybe they are actually Goyim Mamish. And the Goyim Mamish, of course, can't pay the Knas. So maybe I burn the candle at both ends, use the Hanukkah metaphor, and deprive them both of Knas and of the right to marry Jews. Okay? Says the Gemara doesn't really resolve this question, just leaves it dangling. Says, if a man rapes or seduces an orphan girl, potter is exempt. Said, machlokas. This is machlokas. And this is going to Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili indeed holds this way. Then if somebody rapes or seduces a young girl, he's exempt, because who's he going to pay to? Right? He can't pay to the father. The father's dead. He doesn't pay to her. She's a ketana. So you're going to pay to. But Rabbi Akiva says, yesh o knas, there is a fine. Uknas o shatz, which gets kids fine, even though she's very young. Rabbi Yosef said, masnisa amra, our mission says, like Rabbi Akiva, that there's always a fine. Why? Because it says, mibna p'chusas mibna sholosh aniv yom echod. It talks in our Mishnah about girls who converted when they're less than 3 days, 3 years and 3 years and 1 day. In that case, she has no parents. Even if her parents convert with her, how logically are her parents her parents? No, right? Her parents are no longer her parents. Why is that? Because once you're Megayer, all family ties are severed, right? There are no formal family ties, halachic family ties, right? So if that's the case, so how are you paying Yisoma? How does the previous brisa say you pay Yisoma knas? How could you get it? She's a child, right? So it must be rather that a child Yisoma actually has knas. Votani, wait a minute, it gets worse. It's not even machlokas, it seems. Then we learn Rabbi Yosef Glili himself says, Tachas asher inah, because he tortures, got to pay. Means anybody torture. Rabbi says, Ayisoyim aliknas, that even so often a girl, she gets paid. Dim Rabbi Yosef Glili, so you see, Rabbi Yosef Glili owes Ayisoyim and gets knas. I used to say before, Rabbi Yosef Glili owes Ayisoyim but doesn't get knas. So Rabbi Yachi Rachi said, I'll tell you how to work it out. He brought there, resolved it, Israel Glili was saying like this, kids like this. Shebola Achelo Mace of Ya. He had relations with her before her father died. Umace of Ya. And then her father died. So Kfarnir Litain Lavia. So then you already could have given to her father. She's a Yeso, she's a Ktana. She's a minor. She shouldn't get it. But since you had relations there before her father died, and then he became liable to give it to her father, so that requirement still remains incumbent upon you. Okay? So therefore, even once the father dies, you give it to the next of kin. The next of kin, if it happens to be a soima, a young child. So you give the young child. In that case, the young child gets a knas. So it's not directly the young child got a knas, but rather, since it went to the father and the father died, so that's why it deflects to the son, the daughter. Okay? It says more further. Timothy, we learned over there. Oh, now, at first, it's more, it seems to be totally irrelevant than a non sequitur, but it gets back. Timothy, we learned over there. Hoch truma mazid. If somebody eats truma intentionally, right? He's a non-coin, eats truma intentionally. Mishayim is scared, and he pays the principal. Ve'en Mishayim is komish, but not the additional fifth for atonement. Okay. Must be that you pay, even though you're chayav what for eating truma? If you're a zor, what do you get for eating truma? And not, if you're a non-coin, what do you get for eating truma? No. Zapped by heaven.
Oh,
Kores. Kores, right? Or Misavide Shemaim, good name, and that kind of stuff. So here you say, here it says quite clearly you pay nonetheless, right? You don't pay additional fifth for a kapora because you ate it amazing, but you pay. Utina, we learned, so it's a kasha. It says, Eluwein Elokin. There's a brisa, a very famous Mishnah, I should say, Masech the Makas, which is difficult on two counts in our sugya. One is that there it says if you eat truma, you get flogged. And we're just learning if you eat truma, you have to pay. The other is that it says there that if your relations with your sister, you get flogged. And here we learned that you got in our Mishnah that you got to pay. So how do we reconcile the two? So it says the Gemara. One place you say flogs, flogging, that's makas. The other place you say payment, that's ksuvas. How do you reconcile the two? So says Mar Rabbi Yochanan, it's done and he must nisa. You read the brisa on the side, or indirectly, or in two separate parts. It's not clear always to me what it's done means. But anyway, here's the way to read it. Says the Gemara. Imi trubo loke. If they warned him that he's going to get malchus, then he gets malchus. Loi trubo. If they didn't warn him he's going to get malchus, then mishalim. Then he pays. In other words, that the warning makes him chay malchus. Without the malchus, it's not chay malchus. Without the warning, it's not chay malchus.
What? So
you say kimle rabbi by malchus. Well, it's not kimle rabbi. Just a minute. Let's say some more. Sorry, Yochanan Meimar. Rabbi wanted to say, "B'makom makos etashlumim." In the case where you can potentially get both flogged and pay, so then mishali v'enoloike, you pay and you don't get flogged. As more biyoka mishali, why not? Or even the other way, let him get flogged and then pay. Says more k'day v'shoso. No, you can only get chayv k'day v'shoso. You only give him one evil punishment and not two. So this is the fundamental mark to teach us that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Kedei Rishoso means that you can only give Malkus or Mammon but not both. Okay? Except for the exceptions to the rule, which we'll see in a moment. Now Rish Lakish argues. Rish Lakish says, although his opinion is brought down only a line later, maybe that line has to be moved here, but let me tell it to you outside anyway. Rish Lakish holds that you, in the case of Malkus and Mos, you indeed get only one punishment. What's the punishment you get? Case get flogged, you pay. Rabbi Yochanan says you pay. What does Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish hold? You get flogged. Very good. Okay. Okay. He knows how to use process elimination. Right. So name it. So says the Gemara. Hey, wait a minute. If you shall him lo yoke, well, that is, why not? We'll let him pay and not get malchus. Says more. B'mishi yesh bo shtei rishuos akosam adaber. Let's go back to the same pasuk Rabbi Yochanan says. We're talking about a guy who's got two evil strikes against him. He did two bad things. One generates malchus. One generates mama. And it says, "Bepila shofi kol afana kdei rishasim ispar." It says the judge should knock him down and flog him. So it must be, if we're talking about the judge knocking down and flogging immediately after kdei rishaso, it must be that we give flogging and not money. That's Rav Shimon Lakish's proof. Okay, Rav Shimon Lakish amar afilo yisru. Even the thinking about Sorin, he can't get Malkus. Ano Mashayim, he still doesn't have to pay. Now, this is an important case. If a person could have been Chayim Malkus, but it's not because he didn't get Asra, he still, according to Reish Lakish, doesn't have to pay in that case. Because the Malkus, even the potential, the torment, the theoretical Malkus, exempts him from having pay. Right? Says the Gemara. Masisa plea Rosh Hashanah, the following brisa actually seems to argue Rosh Hashanah. It says there, Ha'ochel Truma Shalit, somebody eats Truma unintentionally. Mishayim is Kenneth Chomash, you pay the principal in the fifth. Now that's not the Kasha. The Kasha is from the Seifa, which was we actually noted before. The Kasha of the Seifa is that if you ate Truma ben Mazid and you are not a Kohen, what do you have to do? If you eat Truma intentionally, you're not a Kohen, what do you have to do? What? Pay! But like the Shlokish, what should you have to do? Shkem Malkus, get flogged. Kasher is Shlokish, right? Says the Moche. Be Lisa Bo ain't a loike. If they warned you, shouldn't you, at least if they warned you, shouldn't you get Malkus? So says the Moche, cried Mayor. He holds to that Mishnah, which says, that by trumas you pay, it's going like a mayor. For a mayor, has a gewaldige shita. He has a tremendous approach. Amar, lefke mishan, double whammies, gewaldig. So that means it's going like a mayor, it says double whammy, and therefore, when it says you pay, not to the exclusion of not being flogged. No, avada, we flog you as well. Okay? Says, so that's all right, but he learns going like a mayor. Masisa plea Rav Shimon Lakish. What about the our Mishnah? Then now we come full circle back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to argue Rav Shimon Lakish. The thing it says in our Mishnah, El Nar Sheshlan Knas. These are women who have to, if you have a relationship with them, you have to pay a fine. Ilu Yisru Boina Loke. Well, in our Mishnah, it doesn't say anything about Malkus. So it sounds in our Mishnah, even if they warn you and you get Malkus, you still have to pay the fine. How come you should either be only Loke or Mishalim, not both? So it says the Gemara. No. Potzalak Remeir. If Remeir holds Taki, Armishalim Remeir, Remeir, Loke Mishalim, Remeir says you can pay and have to get flogged as well. Be'avo B'Shem Reshim and Loki said, Min Motzi Shemra Loman Remeir. Remeir learned his Svara from Motzi Shemra. For a person who after his wedding night came and said not nice things about his wife, that he found that she wasn't a psula. That's called the Motzi Shema. So it says there, I mean, a Motzi Shema Lora Mer, it says, V'Yisrael so they should have tortured him, Makos, that means beat him, Vachos so mama, and pay him all, and make him pay also money. So we see Adam Zomim at least have to pay both, right? Not Adam Zomim, sorry. Motzi Shema has to do both. So it's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara. Rabbanan Amrin, Rabbanan say, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, L'chidushat, and whoever's with him, L'chidushav yotzah Motzi Shema. Motzi Shema is a chiddush. Why Motzi Shema? Well, Gemara's going to explain why in a moment. The davar shu yotzah chiddush, anything which is a chiddush, ain't loim diyumen, and we can't extrapolate from there. What's the chiddush by Motzi Shema? A person never chai based solely on his statements. The kind of mischai b'dibur here, a person is judged reliable based on a statement that his wife didn't absolute. Right? His wife is no longer a basula. So therefore, if here a person is chai just for speaking, whereas a person normally not chai just for speaking, so that's why he has a chiddush also at loike mishalim, right? Of a chain, since that's the case, yet lomim yimeno davrachim. You can extrapolate from your table itself, Ein at lo yimenu lo onshin lo makas, you can't learn of it, neither the punishment penalty of money nor the penalties of floggings. So, interesting thing, before we go on, the Babli says that the reason why the Chiddush to say that Motzi Shem has to pay is because it's a lav shem bo maisa. It has to pay and get flogged. It's lav shem bo maisa, normally lav shem bo maisa, wherever you don't do a deed in the course of transgressing the prohibition, you don't bring a korban. Yet here you have to bring a korban, you don't have to get penalized. Not getting a korban here. You don't have to get flogged. But here he has to be flogged nonetheless, even though it was a shoygig, right? So two ways of dealing with that. How do you find case the guy's shoygig is the flogged, how do you deal with that? I messed up. Sorry, it's not shoygig and flogged. I take it back. Let me rephrase myself. I don't know what I was thinking. Probably wasn't thinking. Lav shem bo maisa. The Babli says the reason why motzi shem is a chiddush, you can't learn from motzi shem bo, it's motzi shem with a lav shem bo maisa. Normally for lav shem bo maisa you don't get flogged. Motzi shem gets flogged nonetheless. So it must be that motzi shem is unique. And there we get shouted from there that, hey, where else in Torah, Lokim, Mishalim, a person get flogged and have to pay as well. The Yerushalmi is saying the reason why Motzi Shem was different is because Motzi Shem would transgress Bidiburo, with your statement, as opposed to with your Bidiburo, by your statement. So it sounds like this is the same thing as the Bavli. When the Bavli says Lav Shebo Maisa, and Yerushalmi says you transgress your Dibur, it sounds like it's the same thing. But I'm not sure 100% about that, because Karmei Epnei Moshe say something about that Diburo means that through the Aiden, which I don't know exactly what that means, that with the Aiden will come and say your wife didn't have psulim, somehow you're Zocha with your Taina. So I don't understand exactly what that's throwing in a monkey wrench. But it sounds like it's more or less the same thing. What did you want to say?
I think in the discussion that Mar has by Aiden Zomerman, that discusses that your wife's in a chidush because they did an Avera with Diburo. Isn't there something like that?
Yeah, there is such a thing.
And the explanation, I think, Rashi over there is because it's a lot of shame about
myself.
Okay, fine. That's the drives. Says Umare, lo kem Rabbi Yavo b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, and the precedent is like this. In Rabbi Yavo, say name Rabbi Yochanan. Meizu b'chelev, a person, oh no, it's the kasha actually. It was actually a brilliant kasha. I forgot. Now it came back to mind. Okay, Loke and Rabbi Yochanan, this is really a very brilliant kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. You have to give more credit for this one. Loke and Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Yochanan, listen to this one. After that build up, better be good, right? Meizu b'chelev, if you shaygeg b'karba, a person intentionally ate chelev, but he didn't always chayav a korban for it. Now, of course, he shouldn't be chayav a korban, right? Because he did it in Mezid. But there's a sheet of back of Masechta Shabbos, which both in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, that a person was Mezid in all aspects of his deed, except he forgot that there's a potential korban for doing this bad deed.
I remember that in Yerushalmi.
Right? That he has to bring a korban.
Right.
Okay, there has to be a korban because it's the definition of shogeg, which means that even you're just shogeg in one aspect, that you forgot there's such a thing as korban involved in this. If you transgress this avera, so then he could bring a korban. Okay, so you have a potential scenario in which a guy can be mazed. He can go and eat a chela, forbidden fats, be mazed. Yet nonetheless be chayav a korban. Now, if this is a case where he ate the forbidden fats which belong to another fellow, to another individual, so besides that he has to do what? He has to pay. But that's not our issue here. In this case, when he did amaze it, he has to get flogged. So he's actually getting flogged for having to transgress an avera, and he's also bringing a korban, right? That's it says here, masrimbo, if you give masra, like a maybe korban. He gets flogged and he has to bring a korban. V'kol like a mishalim, so that's the case, we see you can have double whammies. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, you have the double whammy of getting flogged and having to bring a korban, so here let's give you the double whammy of getting flogged and having to pay. What's the difference? Very good question. Rabbi Boom Bar Chia B'Shem Mary Shmuel Bar Yitzchok said, Amar K'dei Rishasa. No. Kedavis Shoslo tells us we only give him one penalty. In what case? Shnei Dvorim Mesurim LeBeisdin. When the two penalties are given over to the hands of Beisdin, you can only grab on and give him one of them. You ought to double Shemosu Shana as opposed to when at least one of the penalties is at the hands of heaven. So therefore, when you eat chalev, well, actually, when you eat chalev, you're chayev malchus b'dei adam, but the korban you're chayev to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That one does not override the other. Kedavish also means when you chayev two penalties in Basin, so Basin only gives you one. When you chayev one penalty in Basin, one to Kodesh Baruch Hu, there, gesunta eat, I can give you both penalties. Right? Excuse me?
Yeah, I just said it. I see. So it's not
Kedei Rishos. Right. So it's not Kedei Rishos, so not a court procedure. How come Moshe Mammon Eitzel Miso? Everybody agrees, however, that if you're chayiv the death penalty, you don't have to pay. From where do we know that? Where do we learn that? Minoto, from here. Makabei Mishaman, it says if you smite an animal, you pay for it. Makabei Mishaman, if you smite a human being, you put to death. Ma Makabei Mishaman, just like by smiting an animal, there's no distinction made between children was accidental. The maids are intentional. L'chaiva moment, regardless, you have to pay. Af maki odom. So to smite a human being. L'tachol bo, you don't have to draw a distinction, but showing the maids between intentional and unintentional. If by the intentional scenario, you get killed and you don't pay. Lepocher mom and I'm not going to look down a little bit show the maze of poacher mom. In other words, by intentional scenario you don't have to pay, so even by the unintentional scenario you don't have to pay as well. So that means that even if you're a shogeg in some which potentially could put you miss a space, that's enough to get you off the hook for having to pay. It's like by Makabeim, or whether you're shogeg or mazik, you have to pay for the animal. The flip side is true by a human being. Whether you're shogeg or mazik, you don't have to pay for the human being. Okay? So it means you only get the one penalty and not the second penalty. What's the penalty you get? You only get the misa, not the mama. Now, even if you don't get misa because you did it by shogeg, since by mazik the misa would have exempted the mama, the death would have exempted having to pay the taxes, so too, or whatever obligation you have, so too, even in shogeg, we didn't actually come to death penalty, since you were subject to death penalty, at least hypothetically, so it affects your payment, and you don't have to make a payment either. Okay? So it says the Gemara, of that everybody agrees. Makli, what's the machlokas? Mammon Eitzel Malchus. Where you're chai potentially either money or flogging. Rabbi Yochanan a moment eats on misa. There's no, you don't pay when you're potentially chai of death. Have a yesh moment eats on makos. However, you pay when you potentially have to get flogged, and the payment supersedes the flogging. Rishon Lokish Shomer, Rishon Lokish says, Kishem Shein Momom eats on misa. It's like you don't pay money. Where's the potential death penalty? Kache moment eats on makos. So there's no paying money where time to Shimon Lakish. What's like Shimon Lakish who says you get flogged and not paid? Russia, Russia. Xerishava, parallel. Nema Russia, Mukhleve Misad says Russia by the person who's liable to be put to death. Vinema Russia, Mukhleve Makin says Russia by the person who's liable to be flogged. Ma Russia, Shinema. So he says the word Rosh and Mukhleve Mesa pays it, but someone's liable to the death penalty, a moment eight. So he says they don't pay where they're potentially liable to the death penalty. So too, after Rosh Hashanah and Mukhleve Makas, so too the Rosh was discussed. The people who hide be flogged, so we say, a moment eight. So Makas, you don't give monetary penalties where you can give the flogging. Okay? Now, that's all the sheets of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Now we have a third sheet. Nasim Barashi Omer. Nasim Barashi says, coming to our Mishnah, Kambinara Kambinogiris. He says, why in our Mishnah does it say you have to pay, and in Bab Makas it says you don't have to pay? It depends. By a Nara, if she's under 12 and a half, you got to pay. If she's a Bogeris, she's over 12 and a half, you don't have to pay. So Says the Gemara, Nari Eshaknas, a girl who's Nari between 12 and 12 and a half has a Knas, Vein Lamakas, so she doesn't get flogged. Bogeret Yesh Lamakas, she gets flogged, Vein Laknas, but she has no Knas. So says the Gemara, I don't understand. Vein Labosha Subkam. What about Bosha Subkam? What about her embarrassment? What about her damage? So if that's the case, how can you say by a Bogeres, there's nothing, by a Bogeres that we should be Bosha Subkam, right? So says the Gemara, Rabbanan Kesarin Amrin, the rabbis of Kesarin said that Amriti Potter, we're talking about a case, the result of the case, she obviously mistaken in gears of a tree, Hiftito, she seduced him. Or she forgave in the Bosha Subkam. So those cases, we say that she forgoes altogether. She only has, by Bogeris, only has Malkus and does not have any payment. So says the Gemara, the Sov Rabbi Eshiel, Rabbi Tzorin, Nesem Eshiel, Nesem Eshiel holds, B'mokom Malkus v'tashlumin. It depends what you're facing. If you're facing Malkus and payment, Mishalim in a loka. So you don't get Malkus, then you pay, you don't get Malkus. Why don't you pay and get Malkus both? No, only one Risha. You don't give him double indemnity. Now it should be the loka of Lo Yishalim, let it get flogged and not have to pay. Game Zomim. Now we say it's like Game Zomim. You brought that name zone before. Like we say over there, Benim Zomim, Mishalmin, they pay, Benim Lokin, don't get flogged, blah, blah. Because Soto Mishalmin, Benim Lokin, you pay, and you don't get flogged. Okay? I'm Rabbi Yonah said, time of the Rabbi Yosef Barashah, the larger Rabbi Yosef Barashah is, Kidei Vishoso, very beautiful child, which is not in the Bible. Says, Kidei Vishoso, Esher makos of yetzos midei rishoso. If a person's makos stem from his evil, then we give him makos. Yotzos esher omrim lo amod v'shalem. Suppose the person we say, go out and pay. Meaning, basically, that kidei rishoso applies for a blue-collar crime. Okay? As opposed to a person who commits a white-collar crime, we tell him, not that the crime is less heinous, but we say that you can get the money, go and pay for what you for the negative ramifications which you caused. So in any event, what comes out is like this: Rabbi Nosef Arishia and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish have Malchukas. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you got Hasra for Malchus, you get Malchus. However, according to Reish Lakish, even if you didn't get a store from Malkus, Malkus is what you get. That's the penalty, right? However, according to Rav Nosson Bar Yoshua,
what's happening?
Reish Lakish, what's Reish Lakish from Yehudah? Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, what the default assumption is. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the default assumption is you pay and don't get Malkus. According to Reish Lakish, the default assumption is you get Malkus, you don't pay. But even Rabbi Yochanan agrees if you want or hold. If you got Asura, when the guys gave you Asura, they said, Yankel, don't do that Avera, because otherwise we're going to flog you. So then after the fact, we flog and we don't make him pay. Okay, even though normally Oz we make him pay, but if he had got Asura specifically for the purpose of Malkus, it's not true. Okay? In that case, we give him flogging and not money. However, that's not true of Nosef Moshe. Nosef Moshe's third opinion is that even if they gave him a sword and said, Yaakov, we're going to give you Malkus. Since money is an option, you never get Malkus. Ever. It's not possible to introduce Malkus into this scenario. Okay? Says the Gemara, Masisa Pi Rishim and Lokish is from Misha, seems to argue, Rabbi Shor, my price seems to argue Rishim and Lokish. Says the Ochel, true, and this really is what we said before in Omer Aleph already, and we're repeating it. The reason we're repeating it is because we brought in our third sheet of the Nosem Roshia, so therefore we want to go through some of the old questions again. So we say, Masisa Pi Rishim and Lokish, the price seems to argue Rishim and Lokish, says the Ochel, Truma makes it, so it means Truma intentionally, Misha Amis Karen. He has to pay. And Rishai means the chumash you can't pays the principal. He doesn't have to pay the extra fifth. So al daita Reb Nesser Bereshia according to Nesser Bereshia Damar Mishai Milis Pei Nichol makes sense. Al daita Reb Yochanan Damar Yisubo Leike. According to Reb Yochanan says if he gave Masorah he should get Malchus Fim Lavin. Lois would didn't get a Masorah then he pays. Plus the law makes it. So let's just talk about a case where it makes it below Asorah. That's why he has to pay. Because it was intentional without Asra specifically for Malchus. Al daita Rishimen Lakish. Lo shani he show you mazid. So Kurishim Lov is difficult. If it doesn't matter if it's showing you mazid, he's lo trubo. It should make no difference. He should only get loke and not mashalim. So why do you have to pay here? So it says much, just like we said in our mouth, Kramer. Like Kramer said, Moti Shema Dharma loke mashalim. So to extrapolate from that, Toli Sumatora and loke umashalim. So it says he has to pay. That's besides the malchus he faces as well. Amrei Echina Kumei Raimana. Rabbi Echina said for Raimana. Vafili is Bartapi Zaminav. Vafili is Rishim Elokish Komas Yisrael Meir. Yisrael Meir says, every Mishnah which says you got to pay, that's what Yisrael Meir means, not just you got to pay, but you also have to get flogged. Okay, this is the thing. But Kray Meir, what's going to do? Psukim sound like all you have to do is pay, not get flogged. For Aksiv doesn't say, Ish Kiyocha Kodesh Bishkova, says there, if you eat Kodesh unintentionally, Shalem is Shalem, you gotta pay. We know if you commit Mila intentionally, you have to get flogged. It says that if you commit unintentionally, you just pay. Why, according to Shlokesh, you should be exempt from paying, right? So it says, my Elamizber Savar, rather, Rishim and Lokesh, Shim and Lokesh holds, Chomesh is a carbon. The reason they're exempt from Chomesh is because Chomesh is a korban. Chomesh is like the additional fifth you pay if you don't intentionally is a korban. It's a sacrifice. A sacrifice you don't pay b'mezid. Says Mara, Shkoyach! I feel tamer Chomesh korban. Even say the extra fifth is a korban. But Karen korban? Why does a guy have to pay the principal? The korban shayach to Malchus. Shayach to Malchus shouldn't even have to pay the principal. So Rabbi Yerushalayim said very strange thing, but interesting. Masni Samra, this price, it tells us Shakaren Knas that even the basic payment, if you eat Truma, is considered to be a Knas. And this is a fascinating concept. And what it means is like this. If I eat Truma and I'm a Zor, how do I pay you back? How do I pay you back? If I eat Truma and I'm a Zor, what do I give you? What does the Karen consist of? Let's say, it's not supposed to, it's supposed to consist of fruit. What kind of fruit do I give you?
Same kind.
What's its status, chulin or truma?
It's truma, isn't it? No, it can't be.
What am I giving?
Chulin.
But it becomes truma. And how does the claim becomes truma? Special because there's a cost of it. It metamorphosizes. Yeah. Into truma. The thing is like this, what I ate as truma was worth truma money. So if I had 5 pounds, truma is probably worth 99 cents. If I'm giving chulin, I'm giving him actually 5 times 99 cents a pound, right? So give me whatever, 5 times as much. So therefore it comes out that even the keren given for truma is a knas. Says Rish Lakish, I'm not talking about knasos. When I said Lake of Enam Shaim, it's only a payment of money. There I say the Malchus supersedes the payment, then all you get is Malchus. But you're talking about paying for Truma, that's a Knas. That's a fine. Fines can coexist and it can be Loke Umishalim. When I said Enam Loke Umishalim, it's only talking about money. But this is Lake Umishalim because it's a Knas. And it's the time we learned over there, Ein Rishayim Truma, you don't pay Truma if you ate Truma, and Chulin Metukani, you give proper Chulin, which is Mesukan already, right? Maitre Petei Rav, they nice in Truma, they become Truma. So, Ilmi Mashacha Ava Mishalim Nicha, you'd be right if he paid what he ate, but he doesn't. And therefore we say that quite clearly it's a Knas. Von, furthermore, I'll give you another proof, even better proof. You know, the other time that it says, Ocha Truma Tmeya, even a Truma Tmeya, which is worth mamish zilcho, right? Mishayim chulin torim. You pay full for with chulin torim. Mishayim chulin torim. You have to be the evid if you pay with chulin torim. You take, but lo tmei etzim uchayev lo. What is truma tmei? It's wood. It's not food, and yet you have to pay with food. Adam rasha keren knas. The teacher says the keren by eating truma is a knas. So kumad atomar keren knas kavos a chomish knas. Just like the keren is a knas, the chomish is a knas. And therefore, the bottom line is that you can't extrapolate from that to any other case in Torah. There, in fact, you might pay and get malchus, right? Because that might be unique in that the payment is a knas and not tashlumin, right? Now, so again, we see that Reish Lakish holds the in malchus. Sometimes they say malchus and tashlumin, but malchus is supreme. And how does he know that that's the case? Good question. El Rishim Melokish Kedaite. Shem Lodge, like a sign of reasoning. Quad Omer Taman, like it says over there, by Adam Zomi. Makoli Bechlau Lo San Ebrea Choi Choker. Everyone is forbidden to testify falsely. Yotzav Asis Melokash Zomim says that two Tain Zomim, as they plotted, Maso Soli, their brothers, Lo, what does it mean? Lo Shishali Momo. Means he's got to pay, right? The Ka, Koli Bechlau, here too it says all foreigners should not eat kodesh. Yotzav ishkiyochal kodesh etz mishkoga. Then it says somebody does eat kodesh mishkoga sheishale mamo. Right, he has to pay money. Right, so the vatani. So didn't we learn modi chachon amir begonev trumas chaveru? I think this is actually a separate case. One second. Yeah, this is a separate case. Let's leave this for tomorrow night. Okay, so the bottom line is the Shimon Lakish is coming and telling us that the reason we have to pay money in the case where he ate truma is because the special pasuk of Chozar Le'ochel Kodesh, Yotzev Ishki Ochel Kodesh Bishkoga Shishalim Momo. That's teaching us that even though normally you say that for a penalty for a problem such as committing an avero for which you chayev karb malchus, you shouldn't pay, but here it's a special knas which the Torah imposed, and therefore here you would get knas and I'm not sure, perhaps knas and malchus, perhaps knas without malchus, because it could be that the knas itself is sufficient. But in any event, here, even Reish Lakish agrees because of the nature of the payment that it's knas and not malchus, that at the very least we can do both. It might only be knas, but you can't extrapolate from it to anywhere else in the Torah. Everywhere else in the Torah, Reish Lakish will say, if you're faced with the possibility of malchus and mammon, you only get flogged and you don't get mammon. And of course, that's his machlokas Rabbi Yochanan. So very important to remember, just take away from tonight, among other things, is that three-way machlokas. You have Rabbi Yochanan says, Kedei Rishoso means, normally you pay, unless you were warned that you'll get malchus, in which case you get malchus. Reish Lakish says, you always get malchus. Or Nathan Rashi says, you always pay money. Okay? So Rabbi Yochanan holds it's variable, the other two are absolute in what they hold.